Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA Show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on the Athletic NBA Show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakeel every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerd or She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerd or She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show. Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing. Coming up on the show, Suns' destiny being revealed. Buds, Bucks adjust. The dawn of a new era. We got a coaching carousel and Team USA's love potion. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, new homeowner, author of 2, count them 2 books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, less than 10 days until Space Jam 2 is out. Do you have your tickets secured?
I don't have them secured yet, but I'm waiting. My niece is on her way from Little Rock, Arkansas to spend time with my daughter for a couple of weeks. So when she gets here, I got to make sure I have the tickets because I'm going to be like, hey, guess what? We're going to see Space Jam 2. And they're going to get excited and they're going to scream and they're going to be hype about it. And it's going to be a basketball vacation.
Do y'all not believe in HBO Max? Is that what's going on? Like, you know, we don't have to buy tickets. You just turn it on at home.
Nah, we've been living at HBO Max for far too long. It's time to hit these streets. It's time to get out here.
I'm not paying money for a movie I can see.
And in this corner, the Phoenix legend, the resident pirate for the Dan Levitard Show, starring Stu Gatz, former video coordinator, Hate Hard King, and co-host of the wildly, and I mean wildly, successful Cinephobe podcast,
one more
Amin
wildly,
L.
One
Hassan.
More
Amin, what is Cinephobe?
Oh, I'm wildly excited that you ask. Cinephobe, Zach, is the podcast that you and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or perhaps, just perhaps, they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe, produced by Anthony Mays. You get it wherever you get podcasts.
What's the worst basketball movie?
The Air Up There is pretty bad, but I'm pretty
what?
Sure there's an Ernest
file.
There's an Ernest Goes to the NBA, I think. That
does High School Musical count as a basketball movie? Because if so, that's my choice.
It might count as a basketball movie.
I've never seen
basketball.
I'm just saying,
it,
they're on the court choreographing, dancing to music on the court with a basketball, which is a supreme violation of all basketball law. So that automatically is the worst to me.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Musicals are all bad. I hate musicals. So
Sixth Man is really bad, too. That's a terrible movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Sixth Man is a terrible
movie. Joanna Man was pretty bad.
Oh, Joanna
Man. I like Joanna Man. It's probably it's probably not acceptable anymore, but I remember
it wasn't acceptable when it came out.
Yeah, probably not.
But, and, by the way, the streets is saying that Cinephobe seems to somehow keep black movies at their low ratings. The rate of black movies that go up once Cinephobe is reviewed is pretty low. What is their response to that? It seems like only the white movies get improved ratings on Cinephobe. That's what the streets are saying. That's all.
I mean,
can we address this inequity, please?
Absolutely. It sounds like many things, the streets doesn't listen to Cinephobe. the streets got a great track record, at least this week, of not actually listening and just assuming.
I don't know if the streets is doing real data on that one.
These movies are on the rise, much like the Phoenix Suns. Jade, start the clock. The Suns stay on the runs. Tonight, the Suns look to take a 2-0 series lead against the Milwaukee Bucks. On Tuesday night, the Chris Paul Suns took game one of the 2021 NBA Finals, 118-105, led by CP3, who had 32 points and 8 assists. The first player with 30 points and 8 assists in a finals debut since Michael Jordan in 1991. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton also really, really good games, but CP3 put on a clinic and now has the Suns playing their best ball at the exact right moment. Marcus, your thoughts on the Suns, Chris Paul specifically, is there any stopping this team?
I just first got to point out, as is my duty, that I had the Suns in the finals before the playoffs began.
Well, you didn't believe it. You just said it to say it.
Listen, man, you don't get to judge what's in my heart. You don't get to weigh the intent of my mind. You just take my behavior and my actions.
That's what we do on the internet. I thought that's what we do this week.
You just take my behavior and my actions, and that's all you have. I was fully committed to the Suns being in the finals, and look at me being vindicated here. Look at me being validated. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at my basketball expertise on display. You know what's interesting?
You
want to
talk about the Suns?
Okay. let's talk about. What's interesting is how. Look, I picked the Suns. The reason I'm saying that is because I think it's odd that somehow Chris Paul is suddenly unguardable. Like, are you guys serious? Chris Paul has turned into the most unguardable weapon in NBA history. Apparently, yes, I do think they can guard Chris Paul. I think there are things you can do. He will be largely effective. But you don't have to get torched for 30 points by Chris Paul. It's not like it's not like an inevitability. So it was weird that they decided to say, yeah, Chris Paul, feel free, have your way with us, because it didn't have to be. With that said, this dude is hungry, man. Like, he is on a mission. There's a distinct hunger there. There's like a grown man strength to his desire. Right, it's like that you know, that dude at the park that's like 120 pounds, but nobody can move him because he's been through things in life. Like, that's how he's playing hoop right now. And you can't let this dude chill. Like, he will destroy you if you allow him to do so, because he's on a mission. This 16 years of wanting and wanting and wanting. And woo! Might make your head blow off.
Why is that guy's name always Rusty? That 120-pound guy is always named Rusty.
What's Rusty short for? Is it Rustard?
I think it's Rustard, yeah. I think it's
Russell.
Russell?
Where yeah. Where's Russell? The T come from?
Yeah. The only Rusty I know, his name is Russell.
Okay.
Rusty Westbrook? Is that what we're going with?
You know what? Some games, he is Rusty Westbrook.
What was the question?
I mean, the Suns, Chris Paul, really good. Yes, no, stopping them?
Yeah, so stats and info, ESPN stats and info had this. These between game six of the conference finals and game one of the finals, that's the most points Chris Paul scored in two games back-to-back in his career. So
what? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Like he's never had this great of an offensive back-to-back performance. So, I mean, on some level, yeah, you know, I think there is something to, wow, he's really good, but he's also having a career night. But also, Zach, we talk about this all the time. The playoffs, your mission as a defense is to take the other team's star players out of their comfort zone and basically put them where they're not comfortable. And then for the star players, they either got to find a way to get back into their comfort zone, despite what you're trying to do to take me out of it, or find new comfort in these new zones. The Bucks kind of did the opposite, and they funneled Chris Paul to his comfort zone. They were like, oh, you mean this pull-up mid-range shot with no one around you? Is that what you were looking for? We got you, bro. You ain't got to go all the way over that and do all those things. And so I don't think it's like a fluke he scored 30 points or like, oh, that'll never happen again. It'll happen every time they guard him like that. If they continue to guard him like that or guard him with a switch where he's got Brooke Lopez or Bobby Portis trying to keep up with them, one-on-one coverage on an island, yes, he'll do that every game this series.
They look so like cute though, like Portis and Rob and Brooke Lopez, like getting into their stance and like they're all serious, right? Like, and then they just get completely torched. But they try; it's cute.
We were just a floor slap away in a Duke jersey from like that moment being too perfect, right? Like that's what it looked like there. With and I felt that there was actually, you know what's funny about that, Marcus? There was a point, and I think it was in the second half. There was a point where I do remember Bobby Portis isolated defensively on the right wing against, it was either, yeah, I think it was Chris Paul, and he got down in his stance, and I remember thinking, oh, he's in a stance. I remember thinking that, like, oh, he's got this, like, you know, he's down in a good stance.
Is there a universal sign and it didn't matter. There's about to be a blow by?
No, it's... Then when you think, oh, there it is.
Can I just say, I'm very impressed that Amin is like functional today. Like the first game one win in Phoenix,
No. Marcus, this is even more impressive that he's functional. He's not in Phoenix. He was in Miami last night.
Yes. You're missing this?
This is South Beach Amin.
Yeah. You're missing this, Amin?
This is Meadowlark Amin. This is Amin in Miami.
How are you not downtown Phoenix right now just waking up? I don't get it.
Because the shit was set up before I knew who was going to be doing it. So like, you know, I was like, all right, I guess I'm out here. And the other thing also, to be honest with you, is like, I don't care. That's the thing that people like, it flies over their heads. Like, I really don't care who plays or who wins. I care in the sense of like what city it's in. So we were all robbed last year, Lakers Heat. That should have been the slam dunk NBA Finals.
Yeah. After being subjected to Cleveland for 4 years.
But beyond that, I really don't care. And also,
I just figured the party came to you this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Miami, true, man. He is the party.
Phoenix on a Tuesday night is not, it's not popping. Like, it's like, what are you going to do?
You know, it is popping. These adjustments for the Bucks in game two. It's time for take two. The Bucks will have to regroup and see if they can rally for a game two victory. Going down 2-0, heading back home will certainly be a mountain to climb. And the master of sticking to your guns, head coach Mike Budenholzer. It's Budenholzer season as he has to adjust 1 week after being helped off the court against the Hawks. The two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, scored 20 points on 6 of 11 shooting to go with 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 1 thunderous chase down block. Jade, play the tape.
Paul deflects it. Crowder to Bridges. Bridges up inside. Blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a recovery. recovery.
While Giannis was fine, Drew Holiday was not. After teaming with Chris Middleton to get the Bucks past Atlanta in games 5 and 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Holiday was pretty mediocre, scoring just 10 points on 4 of 14 shooting in game 1. The defense of the Bucks was, let's just say, a big problem, with the infamous drop coverage getting dropped all over those Bucks fans' faces. Amin, channel your inner Mike Budenholzer. What's likely to be the big adjustment for game 2?
Hope that one of the Suns gets hurt. Either Chris Paul or Devin Booker, right?
That's been the adjustment, right? Bucks people say, oh, what are you talking about? He's been adjusting all playoffs. The adjustment of James Harden's hamstring, the adjustment of Kyrie Irving's ankle, the adjustment of Trae Young's ankle. Yeah. Which adjustment are we talking about here?
Pretty good adjustments. They've worked so far.
They have worked. Yeah. I mean, so I guess look out, Chris Paul.
Look, man. The biggest reason why I think the Suns are going to win is because they have zero confidence in the Bucks' ability to adjust. And if you're sitting there saying, wait a second, how can you say that? Think about this. The Bucks came out in game one in the first half and says, we're going to switch everything, right? And they did that. And the Suns exploited it and were successful against it, relatively successful. But the game was still relatively close. And then these people went to their locker room at halftime and sat in the coach's office and said, guys.
These people.
They sat there and they said, guys, the switching thing, man, they're killing us on the switches. What do you think we should do? I got it. Let's go back to the drop coverage. That was what they came out of that coach's office with. That was their big idea for an adjustment. I don't, you were asking me that I expect them to adjust in game two? No, I don't. And if they do, I expect it to be terrible.
Now, Amin, hold on. What if the game plan was, we're going to go to drop coverage and Chris Paul and Devin Booker are going to be so busy laughing at the scheme in front of them, they're going to get a shot clock violation because they'll forget the time and space. Could that have been the strategy?
Maybe.
Might have been the move. Marcus, you're a Mike Budenholzer stan. What do you think the big adjustment for game two is?
Yeah, he needs to, I don't get this, man. Like, this is wild to me. Like, this is the NBA finals, and they basically they just treated game one like it was a feel-out game.
Well, Marcus,
it's finals.
Real quick, Amin and I were talking to Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief Wednesday morning on NBA radio, and he was like, oh, yeah, you're not going to show your hand in game one when things are going wrong, right? Like, he essentially said, like, you know, you make those adjustments for game two, but to me that sounds like, so we're just giving away game one?
You're just giving away game one. I don't understand that. I mean, look, I get it if what you normally do is so, like, dominant and you're the favorite that you don't switch, right? Like, in 07, Avery Johnson basically gave away the series by switching his starting lineup against the Warriors in game one. It was like, all right, dude, you're the number one seed, you're switching. In that situation, you don't run the counter. But you're on the road. Your star player is a bit hobbled and probably riding on a bit of adrenaline. And you might not even be the favorite, right? Like, mm-hmm. You just can't be like, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Let's run it. I think this is on Drew Holiday. This is on Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is on Chris Middleton to be like, listen, like, we're doing this. We're not waiting for our typical game five approach. Like, we're in the finals. We got here on, like, I don't want to say a fluke, but circumstances lined up to get us here. Well, we may not get back here again. Let's not treat this like it's a second round series against the Heat, right? Like, Drew Holiday's got to be like, yo, I got CP. You know, Giannis might be like, yo, we gotta do this. They have to kind of take ownership of it. I mean, Bud after the game is chilling, talking about, yeah, we kind of got to do some things to, so he don't get to a spot so
easily.
He's
good. Like, he's hard to guard.
Are you serious? Like, I don't understand. And the real problem is it wasn't even just Chris Paul scoring. It was, they didn't take away anything. And because of that, Mikal Bridges, who struggled shooting, got off. Cam Johnson got going, right? DeAndre Ayton is already incredible, but now that's open, right? Because you're going to have to do something with CP. So you're just setting up the counter. You chilling like this, then help them kind of get a roll when to start a series, you want them to be uncertain. This is an inexperienced team who's never been to the finals before, first time on the stage. To me, game one was the time to put some pressure on them and make them feel the heat. Instead, Chris Paul is just like out there chilling, like, all right, am I going to hit the step back or do I get to the mid? Like, how I want to do this? Do I zigzag? He was kind of chilling. And everybody else kind of ate off of it. And now they have to cool off the Suns instead of forcing the Suns to make an adjustment.
You ever tried to cool off the sun? It's really hard to do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not possible.
Sometimes it depends on the time of day. It could be at dawn, right? That's when the sun's kind of seems cooler on the earth or whatever. Speaking of dawn, it's the dawn of a new era. Take three, Jade.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
NBA commissioner. That's right. I mean, NBA commissioner Adam Silver met with the media shortly before game one of the finals on Tuesday, talking about a number of issues concerning the league from expansion to coaching diversity. A few things stuck out in this presser, including Silver's comments on parity. Jade, play the tape.
For me, I see this as hopefully the end of a transition for the league, not just post-COVID, but as we're just by virtue of the teams that we saw in the conference finals, a real transition in terms of the league, of the up-and-coming new stars, up-and-coming franchises, more parity throughout the league. Again, you know, it wouldn't be true to the data to make too large a point around one season, particularly one that may have been, that was so aberrational, but I at least say it looks like a very positive sign.
Phoenix versus Milwaukee is certainly not a marketer's dream. It's not Golden State, a team with an enormous global following. It's not LeBron James, who made going to the NBA Finals basically an annual event for the last decade. So what is it? The basketball is great. New faces like Devin Booker should be good for the league in the long run. And as people love to say, oh, the league is in good hands, everybody. Which I
do love to say
that.
I
can't stand when people say that. So, Amin, yay or nay on the new look NBA and the league being in good hands?
They love to say it's in good hands.
Oh, my God.
No, here's the deal. People don't want to hear this, but the reality is super teams are good for basketball because the nerds who are like, oh, I like seeing new faces and people who haven't been here before. That's a much smaller population than the casuals who are just like, huh, NBA finals are on. Who the hell is Michael Bridges?
Oh my
God. I mean, like, that is where the majority of your ratings come from, are people who turn on the TV and know Steph Curry and know Kevin Durant and know LeBron James and know Kyrie Irving. Like, that's where ratings come from, is the familiarity. And so what happens is you're not pure, I won't call them purists, but like, you're hardcore fans of teams are upset because their team doesn't have a chance, quote unquote. But the reality is they're going to watch good basketball and they're going to watch these super teams because they want to see them fail or they want to see greatness, one of the two. But you're not going to be about a Golden State Warriors dynasty or a Miami Heat dynasty. It's very easy for us to have Suns Bucks and for people to go, if I'm not a Suns fan or a Bucks fan, I really don't have a great reason to watch other than like I'm a hardcore basketball fan who's going to watch anyway, regardless.
This is the crazy part about this is we know this. we know, like, this is not new. I just happened to write a book on this, but.
Oh, did you? What book?
It's called Dynasties, the 10 greatest of all time teams that changed the NBA. The entire league is built on this. It's not like the league is built on a bunch of like, teams, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, dynasties came. The league does not exist without the Minneapolis Lakers. Like, it doesn't. It does not exist without the Boston Celtics of the Russell era. Like, what are we talking about? All of these little, these middle times are just bridges to the next super team. That's all we're doing. We're just biding our time until the next super team comes. Because Amin is right. My wife could care less about this series at all. Not what she ain't watched a second. We watched every one of the last four finals, last five finals. And she ain't watched a second. There's just nothing about, you know, the coolest thing about this series is Devin Booker's cars. Like, that's what is Devin Booker riding to the game?
I will say this. I think Chris Paul, like, Chris Paul's a big marketable guy. He's in every damn State Farm commercial. Like, I do think he's a bigger star than we're giving him credit for just because it's Suns Bucks.
No, he is. And Giannis is a big star too. Yeah. Right? But the reality is, for the casuals, those guys are like, yes, I know them. I've heard of them. Everybody else, even Devin Booker, despite dating a Kardashian, like, it just not quite reaching the level of public consciousness, right? Now, next year, that might be different because now he's been on a stage or whatever.
That's the key.
But as of right now, for these finals, yeah, I'm not expecting Bafo numbers, as they say.
I
this
do.
This is the buildup, right? Like, you need these years to give him the name recognition. Like, so Booker, you do this two or three times, now he becomes that guy. And also, I don't think it's just I know who he is, right? It's also I want to watch them, right? Like people know who Tim Duncan is. Nobody just wanted to watch him play. And that's kind of part of it. There's got to be a bit of like excitement about we don't talk about Chris Paul like, oh my God, did you see him do this thing, right? Like we do about a Kyrie or a Steph or LeBron. So even though people know who he is, he's not making people run to the television as good as he is, as great as he is. He just doesn't have that draw.
Right. And I do love that when people, you know, begrudge super teams and they want parody and everything, they typically say like, oh, I miss basketball like in the 80s and 90s. You mean when the Lakers Lakers went to the finals 9 out of 12 years? When the Celtics went to the finals 5 out of 7 years? When the Bulls won the finals 6 out of 8 years? What parody happened then?
The Charlotte Hornets, baby, that one
year. That one year they beat a ravaged Robert Parrish.
The one year, like, the Kip Mabel tumbles on the ground
exactly.
With the ball.
Yeah.
Like,
that one time, that's the parody we crave.
You know what we need? And Amin, you would appreciate this. The problem is, without a super team, you have no one to hate. You got to have somebody to root against. That's what creates the spark that makes this thing blow up. It's not just, I love this guy. People watch LeBron because they love him. They think he's incredible. But people watch LeBron because they also want to see him fail. Right. Yeah. Right? Like, and that you got to have somebody to root against. Who you root against in this series?
Exactly.
Like, who you hate?
That's I mean, maybe it's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's
I don't know.
It. That might be it. Chris Paul. I don't even know if people hate him like that. Like,
no, it's
internally.
Yeah, it's become like a feel-good story about Chris Paul. Like the guy who just kept trying and trying, and finally he broke through. People feel good. He's lived long enough to become the hero again, basically.
Right.
But he's not a polarizing figure in the way that LeBron is or the Warriors were or Kobe was, you know, and that's what we need. We need a villain. So I submit to you, Giannis Antetokounmpo, get ejected for flagrantly fouling Chris Paul.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Go hurt somebody, Giannis.
I mean, if you want to turn this thing up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think ain't Chris Paul's like anti or disapproval ratings. That's kind of inside basketball, right? Like that's. Not,
I think that's a very Twitter thing, and Twitter is generally not representative of what the basketball viewing audience is in terms of casuals and stuff. So yeah, I think you're right on that. All right, it's time for take four, the coaching carousel. You spin me right round, baby, right round like a record. I mean. So far, almost a third of the NBA will have new head coaches at the beginning of next season. We got Chauncey Billups for the Blazers, Jason Kidd for the Mavs, Rick Carlisle is back in Indiana, Chris Finch and Nate McMillan took over their teams in midseason. Ime Udoka in Boston. We're still waiting on the Wizards, the Magic, and the Pelicans to figure out who their next coach will be. So who's left? A few weeks ago, there was a lot of speculation that the first woman would be hired. Names like Becky Hammon, Dawn Staley, Kara Lawson, Teresa Weatherspoon leading the way. Adam Silver says there is, quote,
well, in terms of black coaches, obviously we've seen positive developments there in terms of the number of vacancies that are being filled. I will say that not unlike a lot of organizations that are dealing with diversity issues, this is something that requires daily attention. In terms of women, it's a little bit frustrating, even just looking around the room here. It's like you'd like to see more women represented in the room here today in all aspects of our business. We've historically made more progress in race rather than on gender. But I think that's beginning to change. It's slow, frustrating, but it's the work that we have to do every day to change awareness and develop pools of candidates as well.
So Amin, do you think there's still a chance for the hiring of the first woman head coach in the NBA this time around with these final three spots open?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the straw, like if I'm reading the tea leaves, this is not me reporting. Now, I don't know anything. Now, I haven't talked to anybody.
Just so
now,
everyone knows, this is Amin's Mike Greenberg impersonation.
Now, I think it's pretty.
You know what? I was like, that sounds familiar. I didn't know what it was. I know that voice.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. Some people don't recognize talent.
It's soon going to devolve into an Obama impersonation, as they all do with Amin.
But Teresa Weatherspoon in New Orleans, I think, has an inside track there.
Yeah.
I think that right now, if you were to tell me, hey, there's a woman who just got hired for one of these vacancies, my first guess would be Teresa Weatherspoon in New Orleans. But if it doesn't happen this year, is there a chance that it happens in the next 5 years? I think so. I think we've reached that point where it's going to happen now. And it might even be a year where two vacancies go to women. So like Commissioner Silver said, I think we're headed in the right direction.
I'd guess Teresa too in New Orleans. It makes a lot of sense. She's been quote unquote interviewing like all year. Like they know what they're getting.
Zion's a big fan. Zion's a big proponent of her.
I also think, I don't know if now is the time, but maybe next year. I think Dawn Staley is going to get a lot of, she's going to get a lot of attention. Somebody's probably going to throw a bag at her.
Kara Lawson too seems to be.
Kara Lawson, she needs, you know, I feel like she probably is telling people, I imagine Kara's telling people, let me do my thing. Like I just got the job, but don't, you know, forget about me. I do think we're going to get there. Unfortunately, I feel like we kind of had to go through this pump fake method. Like, you know what I'm saying? You knew they were going to throw the names out and get the hope, but you knew this was coming. Like, it was like, oh, we needed a little PR. It's kind of like posting the black squares on Instagram last summer. It's like, you kind of got to go through the symbolism first, and then somebody's got to like get tough enough.
Wait, was that not effective? Was that not?
Who's the Nancy Pelosi who's going to be taking a knee with the kente cloth?
Somebody's got to toughen up, hit a little crown, and like, all right, I'm actually going to do it, right? Instead of just using it as a PR stunt. And I feel like some of these women are just like gangster enough to be like, nah, you're not using me. Like, yo, is this real or what? Right. Like, Dawn Staley, it's probably got to be pretty far along the line for her to leave what she got in South Carolina. And she's the one of the people you know can do it, right? She's got the head coaching experience. So I think it's coming. Unfortunately, the game is such that they had to be played first. And, you know, the NBA has got to do this little thing where we're cool. We're gonna act like we're cool. And then somebody's got to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I wonder because everyone just assumed, because Becky Hammond was on the Spurs coaching staff, you know, for so long that she was going to be the next one. But I guess maybe this is dumb, but I would be a little shocked if she was the first one.
You know why, Zach? It's because that's the only name these people knew.
Right.
It's the only name that got trumpeted over and over again. Right. But Kara Lawson was obviously in Boston, and she, you know, very well liked and well respected there. And Dawn Staley, obviously, her, you know, she's proven herself time and time again as a head coach, which, by the way, is one of the things that puts her like a step above for me, is that she has head coaching experience that we can actually look at and judge her off of, as opposed to, because anytime, here's a dirty secret. Whenever someone tells you, like, oh, this assistant coach, they should be a head coach somewhere, you're really just taking people's word for it.
Right.
We have no, and I'm not just saying about fans. I'm talking about even people in the league. If I don't know someone who has worked with that person and they don't have a resume of head coaching somewhere, I really don't know what kind of coach they're going to be. I'm just kind of guessing because they interviewed well and because they got a letter of recommendation from the people they work for, which, duh, why would they ever shit on the person that right. they're, you know, one of their own. So, like, it's always interesting to me when people, like, swear by, oh, I can't believe Becky Hammon isn't a coach. Like, well, how do you know? Like, what is it that has given you that insight other than, well, reporters have told me such. Oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
it's not a universal gig. It's not like there are these 20 traits, and if you got enough of them, you'll be good. Like, you know, you might be good at one spot and terrible at another spot. Like, you can't know. There's no way to know outside of even the people who have experience, like a Dawn Staley, who's got the credibility, who's got stars in the WNBA. It may not work at her first gig. Like,
there's
no way
exactly.
you can know.
Because usually you're taking over a team that's not that good, right? Where, like, they don't tend to switch out the coach on teams that are doing really well. Although, tune in by the end of the finals to find out if there's another one.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Becky Hammon, she's on Greg Popovich's coaching staff. It's time for a Kevin Love rehab assignment with Team USA. Take five! With the end of the summer nearing, the focus is now going to move to summer league and the draft and free agency as teams look to retool for next season. Also on the horizon, the 2021 Olympic Games. Just a month away, the United States men's basketball team has officially set its roster with 12 players who have committed to representing the U.S. of A. in Japan. Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, James Harden are among the stars set to play. Also added to the team, Kevin Love, who looks to rehab his ailing career in Cleveland under Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr.
Drilling back down on Kevin Love, I mean, you know, he's not a young developing kid. Can he actually get a tangible benefit out of this experience, whether that's, you know, sharpness or conditioning or kind of getting back to what he was, the kind of seasons he would like to have? Can he benefit for that and get back to that, give that to Cleveland next year or anybody else that trades for him?
Greg Popovich said,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we're going to work his ass off here, you know, the next 4 or 5 weeks. And demand a lot, and that's going to definitely get him back, you know, into the rhythm he needs to be in to continue to play. And I think that's one of the big reasons he wanted to do this, so he can get himself back to who he was. And, you know, we need his experience and skills, as I said. And we'll be playing a lot of teams that, you know, have people that are a little bit older and experienced. It's a more rough and tumble, more physical game over there, and he fits that very well. The first part of your question, you know, whatever players might talk about, or you know, you mentioned super teams, it doesn't even cross my radar screen. I'm not in those conversations with them. They're going to have whatever conversations they're going to have about whatever they want in the whole wide world. It's none of my business.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Final question for Coach will be from Dan Wolpe.
Good to see you, first of all. You kind of mentioned sacrifice and stuff like that. I think if Kevin Durant had said you got, if Kevin Durant had said you got
some of
sacrifice, oh, the sacrifice kind of required. If Kevin had said to you,
back down on Kevin Love, I mean, you know, he's not a young developing kid.
We're going to work his ass off the next 4 to 5 weeks and demand a lot. Said that after the team's first practice at UNLV on Tuesday. Love's ticket out of Cleveland could be tied to his performance this summer. We shall see. One last note. When we last saw Team USA on the international stage, finished seventh. That's right. Six teams finished ahead of them in the 2019 FIBA World Cup. So, Marcus, are you confident that with Kevin Love in tow, this team can win the gold?
Are you kidding me? That's exactly what they needed, was a stretch something. You know what I'm saying? They needed somebody to stretch something.
I think at this point
something.
He's a stretched big. I don't think he's a stretch big anymore. I think he's a stretched
they
big.
They needed a big who could shoot. Come on. Kevin Love was the missing piece. You know, when they go up against Spain or Argentina or, oh, Slovenia. Ooh. Or whoever, right? Like, man, Kevin Love is going to be clutch. Them corner threes, this is exactly what they needed to win the gold. Like, I was shook at first. I thought we might be looking at the Stephon Marbury edition of Team USA. But now that they got Kevin Love, it is lit.
There's not a Plumlee in sight.
It is lit. I mean, it's going down. You watch.
You watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Team USA always has different incarnations, and there's always a couple of guys on the team that everyone's like, I don't know if this guy should be here. But, you know, you see this roster. You see the world ahead of them. Talk to me.
You guys don't know he's doing an impression right there, but I'm not going to tell who of who. Oh, man. You know, look, here's the deal, man. There's got to be someone who isn't going to play every game. There's got to be someone who isn't going to play much when they do play. There's got to be someone who won't get to do much in the little time when they do play. Mm-hmm. And that person has to be cool with it. So I know, yes, wouldn't you? Well, oh, it's, you know, so-and-so didn't make it. Whatever, pick your, whatever player you can't believe got left off. Right, Just think, would they be cool not playing much, not playing a lot,
just chilling,
and not being able to do a whole much when you are playing and you're not much and not a lot, right? And then the other part of it is, and they've been very consistent about this, if you've been a part of the program before, there is a preferential treatment you get. There is kind of a little bit of a fast pass of yes, because they know you know the expectations, and they know you play nice, you get along well with others. And I think that's the hidden thing in the Kevin Love selection that people are missing when they go crazy. Is he one of the 12 best players in the league? Absolutely not. We know no one's saying that. But he's best suited to be the 12th man than, you know, far better players.
Do we really care? Is this like really a thing? People really pissed about this?
Jalen Rose got real pissed about it.
And to Kevin Love, I'm sorry. Not that I don't believe that you deserve to make the team. Because I'm pretty sure when you got the call too, you was like, what? Like, I'm on the squad? I know how this works, y'all. This is what I do for a living. I know how this works. He looked down at his phone and was like, yo, they want me? Like, they gonna ignore these Cleveland Cavs lost tape years?
I mean, look, I need to know who wanted the spot and was told no. That's what I need to know. Because if we're talking about like, hey, you know, so-and-so from North Carolina should have got the spot. Or somebody from Duke, like, all right. But, like, I don't know. Who's clamoring to get that last spot to ride the bench? I don't know who that is.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Were we supposed to throw Evan Mobley into the mix?
No, but for instance, Zion's not on the team, right? I don't know if he declined or they didn't pick him, but he's not on the team, right? Zion, that would be an example of someone that'd be like, oh, you guys have Kevin Love and not Zion. No one out here trying to say that Zion's not better than Kevin Love, but do you think Zion would be cool? DNPCDs. 7 minutes played, 2 field goal attempts. Yeah, that's what you got to ask yourself. Whatever name you come up with, whether it's someone who's still in college, whether it's someone in the league right now, are they cool with DNPCD, 7 minutes played, 0-for-2 from the field?
Right. Kevin Love's been fine in Cleveland sharing time with Larry Nance's kid. Like that. Like, I think he's fit the bill here. He's ready to do it.
Aren't we assuming that he didn't want to do it?
Zion?
Like, if he said, I want to be on the team, you think they really would be like, nah?
No, I think they would want him in the mix.
I think the people who decline the invite tend to make a very big show about them declining the invite.
Yeah.
Right? It's not typically something, hey, can we keep this on the hush? I don't want people to know that I said no to this. That's typically not what happens. It's a very big show of like, oh my gosh, oh, I'd love to, but I really want to get focused on next year. You know, that's what they do. So I don't think
they're apparently from Pennsylvania too. When they do
that, is that a Pennsylvania accent?
I think so. That felt like a pencil. I've been watching Mayor of Easttown, so you know, it was a little Kate Winslet there. So they, you know, another impersonation to add to your very limited collection right there. That's gonna do it this week for Point of Contention. Thanks to Amin Al-Hassan for guest spotting here of Meadowlark Media, and of course the wildly, wildly, wildly successful movie podcast Cinephobe, which, well, I mean, what is that one more time?
It's the podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or perhaps didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by Anthony Mays, wherever you get podcasts.
It's weird I didn't know that because consider I'm on the show, but yeah, I just had to ask just to make sure.
I will say it is not only an ingenious idea.
Thank you.
Insanely creative and holistically unique. Mm. It is actually an entertaining listen. And I'm not saying that just because. I would not endorse it unless it was an ad given to me by Jay to read. But this is not that. It is actually a really good podcast.
Cue disclaimer. Like,
against all odds.
Wait, what? That's not an endorsement. All right.
Wait,
I just had to let you know that wasn't a copy I was reading. You throw in the last little
bit. Does Against All Odds count? Does it qualify?
Does that qualify? Is that a movie that qualifies? I'm assuming 64%, that's got Steven Seagal in it.
Yeah, 64% on Rotten Tomatoes, 45% audience score. So, you know, people want to pump that one.
Vote
down.
It down on Rotten Tomatoes. We can get Against All Odds into the mix there. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network, House of Strauss, Warriors Plus Minus, No Dunks, and all the team specific shows. For Marcus Thompson, for Amin El Hassan, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Hey, Amin, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're free, man. Like, say what you want. It just feels good. It feels good. Oh man, it literally felt good. It was like drinking hot chocolate in the winter. I was like, Amin. Oh, you didn't hear the episode? You gotta listen to it. I'm very happy about that, Phil. Be very happy. So take a look at me now. Well, it's just an empty space. There's nothing left here to remind me. Just the memory of your face. It's not hard. It's not hard, yeah. Go call Michael C. Wright. He'll talk.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.